As Steve noted in his remarks, our nation celebrated Thanksgiving just a few days ago. When we think about Thanksgiving, we know that people give thanks for many different things. Some, as they come together on this day, give thanks for the food that they eat. Others are grateful because they can be with their family. People are thankful for their homes, they're grateful for their jobs, their health, and even their freedom. Today we want to think about thankfulness from the standpoint of Jesus and the cross. As we come together week after week and celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are encouraged to be thankful, and I'm sure that most of us are. But today we want to really be sure that we understand what Jesus did for us. We want to, in our time together, to take a close look at what Jesus endured for us, that is, on our behalf. When we look at the Lord, we know that he experienced at the end of his life a form of capital punishment. Capital punishment is still something that is done in various parts of the world today, but usually, especially in this country. When a person is subjected to capital punishment, those inflicting that process upon someone want it to be carried out as quickly and as humanely as possible. When we look at Jesus, it was not done as quickly and as humanely as possible. The Romans were known for putting people to death by crucifixion. As bad as this process was, and it was bad, it was just part of the death process. There was a preliminary step before people were crucified, and this initial step was flogging. People were essentially beaten with a whip, what many believe was a cat of nine tails. And this particular beating was worse than most can imagine. Now, we probably at least know a little bit about that scourging. We've heard people talk about it at different times, but have we ever stopped to consider this question? Did Jesus know in advance? That is, a good while before he ever got to the cross, that time in his life, did he know in advance that he was going to be flogged? Have you ever thought about that question? It is an interesting question, and it is a question that the Bible offers us an answer to. Jesus did not, as he talked about the cross, he did not have to wonder if he would be scourged or flogged before he was actually crucified, because he knew it. There's a little detail in the Gospels that is easy to overlook. If you have the study sheet or if you listen to Jeff's announcements, you know that we're going to start with Matthew 20, verses 17 through 19. Then we're going to be looking at Mark's account of this, Mark 10, 32 to 34. And we'll mention Luke's account in Luke 18, 31 to 34, but not read those verses. Matthew's account of this detail, again, is in Matthew chapter 20, starting with verse 17 and reading down through verse 19. And as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 apostles apart. And on the way said to them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. Verse 19, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, and notice this, and to scourge, and to crucify, and the third day he shall be raised up. Jesus knew he was going to be flogged. And he actually prophesied that this was going to happen. Jesus certainly knew about the cross as well and makes reference to it in Matthew 20, but he specifically mentions the flogging. Imagine living with the knowledge that a day was going to come when someone would beat us. Someone we know is going to beat us in a way that would cause some people to die. People are going to beat us in such a way where when they get through with our back, we will have been whipped so hard and a sufficient number of times that our back is going to be like a bloody mess that we can't separate the lashes that we received. That's what Jesus experienced. We know that he experienced that because of a small detail that Peter provides for us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. If you look at that passage, it says, by his stripes, plural, we are healed. Now, it says stripes in the English text because that makes the most sense to us. But in the Greek text, 1 Peter 2, 24 is actually singular. By his stripe, literally, we are healed. And that doesn't mean that Jesus was hit just one time. It means rather his back suffered so many blows that it was impossible. It looked like there was just one wound because he was beaten so badly. Now, we mentioned that we're also going to look at Mark's account, Mark chapter 10, verses 32 through 34. This is essentially the same information as in Matthew 20, but it presents things in a slightly different way. And they were on the way going up to Jerusalem. And Jesus was going before them, and they were amazed, and they that followed were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them the things which were to happen to him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him unto the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and shall spit upon him, and shall scourge him, and kill him, and after 3 days he shall rise again. Jesus knew that he was going to be flogged. He prophesied that that was going to happen. But here, instead of the word crucified, he uses the word killed. Now, if a person was crucified, they obviously were going to die. They were going to be killed. But sometimes the word crucified may not make the same impression as the word killed does. And that is the word that is used in Mark chapter 10. Jesus warned his disciples that he not only was going to be flogged, but Jesus warned these men that he was not going to recover. It was not as if Jesus was going to be beaten, and then he was going to be taken or transported to some hospital where he would receive treatment. He was not going to be flogged and then set his evangelistic work aside for 6 months and resume that after he had recovered. Jesus said, I'm going to be beaten, I'm going to be flogged, I'm going to be scourged, and then I'm going to die by crucifixion. The scourging that Jesus experienced was brutal, almost beyond description. If you go back, and today, if you look at people who are beaten, oftentimes from even something like if somebody's hit with a stick or a belt or some other object, there's a welt on the body. It doesn't take very long for a welt to form. And when people are beaten, the body normally swells. A whip, though, as that's being lashed across a person's back, those people were not very careful. And there are records in ancient times, and certainly there are cases today, where people are careless with a whip and it actually takes out an eye of someone. It happened in first century times. The whips which were used in the New Testament period could and sometimes did take out a person's teeth. Awful, brutal, but it happened. And today that still can happen if people are careless with a whip. It's been said that the whip was for punishment, the cross and the nails were for execution. And this is a good description of things. The whip was not just a form of punishment. It was about the worst punishment that people could endure. It was done before people were crucified to heighten the pain of the crucifixion. When we look at what happened to Jesus, the details that we've given so far, the additional information, we begin to get some insight as to how awful sin is. Why did the Lord have to experience these things? It's because he was paying the full penalty for sin. Just the beating, just the scourging of Christ tells us that sin is worse than we can imagine. If Jesus had not come, if he had not died in our place, we would deserve that flogging. Without him, we would deserve the type of lashing that has literally taken out the eyes and the teeth of some people. Without him, we would deserve the beating, which has crippled people for life. As our nation has a time of year that focuses on Thanksgiving, we have a lot to be thankful for. In the 2 Corinthians letter, chapter 9, verse 15, Paul said, "But thanks be to God." Why, Paul? "Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift." Paul was exactly right. God has given us a great, great gift. Just the beating of Jesus was so bad that after it took place, Pilate took out the beaten Christ before the crowd. You remember John 19, verse 5, and said, "Behold the man." Apparently, Pilate thought that if the people saw how badly Jesus had been beaten, remember 1 Peter 2, 24, singular in the Greek text, "by his stripe were healed." It was that bad. Pilate seems to have thought that if the people could just see what has happened to Jesus, that's going to be enough. Well, for these Jews, it was not enough. They were not going to be satisfied until Jesus had been put to death. The Lord knew this, so he made that prediction, Matthew 20, 17 through 19, Mark 10, 32 to 34, and also the information in Luke's account. I believe it's Luke chapter 18. Jesus spoke of his death and how it would occur. He was going to be crucified, and he was. When we think about the Lord, we not only have the scourging, we are reminded of the fact that the human body can be wounded in five different ways. And Jesus experienced all five of these wounds. As we look at the things that can happen to us, we find that we can be wounded with a contusion. A contusion wound is the kind of wound which does not actually break the skin. It's the kind of wound that shows up as a bruise. Or maybe the skin, something hits it and it becomes discolored. Jesus had some wounds that would have fallen into the contusion category. We know, for example, that he was hit with this. Matthew 26, verse 67, that says that Jesus was hit with the palm of people's hands. Now, hitting somebody with the palm of the hand is usually not going to break the skin. They're going to have to really smack you pretty hard, or the skin's going to have to be pretty tender. Usually, that's going to generate a contusion. Well, that was certainly not the greatest wound that Jesus suffered, but he did suffer this kind of wound. A second kind of wound is classified as a laceration. Now, we're familiar with those. When a laceration occurs, a person's skin is torn, or maybe it's punctured. The scourging that I described, places like Matthew 20 where Jesus made that prediction, the scourging would have fallen into the laceration category. Jesus' flesh, again, 1 Peter 2:24, some of it was literally ripped from his body as that whip made its way across his back. Lacerations are painful. There have been cases where people have died from lacerations. We are not fond about contusions, but if we have the choice of a contusion or a laceration, I think everybody in here would say I'd prefer the contusion and not the laceration. Then we come to the third category of wounds, and that would have been the kind of wound that penetrates the body. If a person has a knife and he thrusts that into the body of another individual, that is a penetrating wound. Now, Jesus did not have a knife, at least not that we know of, thrust into his body, but he did suffer an eye-penetrating wound, maybe more than one. In the book of Matthew, chapter 27, verse 29, we find information that says that a crown of thorns was put on Jesus' head. Then in Matthew 27, 30, that next verse says that Jesus was beaten on his head. Well, that crown of thorns, if that's on there and Jesus is being beaten on the head, then those thorns would have penetrated the Lord's head. I don't know too many people, in fact, none, that like to be beaten on the head with a stick. We just don't like that. For our purposes, though, this morning, let's imagine a crown, not of thorns. They may be hard for us to envision, but let's imagine a crown of thumbtacks. Somebody makes up a little circle and has thumbtacks attached to that crown. And they put that crown of thumbtacks on our head. And then they take a stick and they begin to beat those thumbtacks into our skull. Painful. And even though those thumbtacks are not very long, we would say that is an experience that we do not want. We do not want that kind of penetrating wound anywhere in a body, but especially in the scalp area. Jesus went through that so we could avoid the suffering of hell. Now, we cannot say for sure what the thorns were like that were put on Jesus' head. Some think they were about 4 inches long and as sharp as needles. If that's the kind of thorn that was used, or if it was anything similar to that, it certainly would have been worse than a crown of thumbtacks. Some of us here, most of us here, have had at one time or another a penetrating wound from a splinter. It may have been a wood splinter, maybe it was a metal shaving, and that got shoved into our body. Maybe it was the hand or some other section of the body. And we know the pain of a penetrating wound. We know how bad it is for a metal shaving or a piece of wood to penetrate the body. Just one is painful. Just one may cause us to seek medical attention if it's bad. Jesus, it seems, had several of these, and they were not slight. That crown of thorns was not just for show. The fourth type of wound was a perforated wound. This wound was done in connection with the cross, and with this wound, as it is described by the word perforation, something actually has to enter the body, and in this case, it also exits the body. In the Old Testament, there was a prophecy about this perforation wound. Psalm 22, verse 16 says that Jesus' hands and feet were going to be pierced. There was something that perforated. There was something that pierced the body. And then that also went through the body. This type of spike or the type of nail that was used, people have made various suggestions about that. But that would have went into, for example, places like the Lord's hands and feet. And then it also would have come out of his hands and feet, needing to go into the wood. Imagine, if you will, something like a nail gun. Most of us have seen those, if not used those at one time or another. Imagine somebody taking a nail gun and just pop, pop, pop into the hand. Can you imagine that? Or popping some nails into the feet. For us, that's a pain that we can't imagine. We would say, there is no way that I want any part of that. If we can't imagine that, imagine someone taking something like a railroad tie, a spike, and driving that through the palm of our hand or somewhere near our ankle. And that was done, of course, without any kind of anesthetic. Maybe you saw a quote that I saw from one of the soldiers at Fort Hood. He was shot recently, and he commented on how much it hurt to be shot. I think all of us would say that hurts. But he actually had that experience, and he said, I can't believe how much it hurt to be shot. The human body suffers greatly when there is a perforating wound. Something comes into the body, and it exits the body. And yet Jesus was willing to endure this kind of wound, plus the other three, so that we could avoid the fate of hell. Thanksgiving is truly a time to be grateful. Wound 5 is referred to as an incised wound. This means there was some type of instrument used, a deep cut from a sharp instrument. Well, at this time, Jesus, of course, was dead. John 19, verse 34 refers to a soldier taking a sword and piercing the Lord's body. Imagine what it was like for the Lord, if he did feel some of that. It would be like someone taking a sword and jamming it into our body today. Now, I would agree, and I think all would, that as we look at the wounds that Jesus experienced, not all of them would rise to the same level as far as the seriousness. The contusion, of course, is not going to really be in the same category as an incised wound or as a perforating kind of wound. They were different as far as the degree of seriousness, but none of them were insignificant. Jesus suffered in just about every way that we can imagine, and he did these things for us. And as we look at the sufferings of Christ, one of the especially interesting things is found in the details. We can go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and find various details about the scourging as well as the actual crucifixion. But if you do this, you really have to do some digging. The New Testament, and this is a point that you really begin to see if you go and look at this information, the New Testament really limits the information about the cross and the scourging. Jesus was beaten, he was crucified, experiences which are worse than we can imagine, but the New Testament really places a marked degree of restraint as far as the gruesome details of Jesus' death. Now, there may be a lot of different reasons for that, one of which might be this. We are not saved by Jesus' pain. We are saved by his death. And we have, as we look at Christ, Steve mentioned this morning, we have much to be thankful for in life, but we have much more to be thankful for in the spiritual realm. In this realm, our wealth, our blessings are too many to adequately describe or count. Jesus died, he underwent the process described this morning, so each individual can spend eternity with God. That hope is available to all. And that hope begins with belief. If we don't believe in Christ, we don't believe that he died for us, if we don't believe that sin is a serious issue, we're not going to be saved. We cannot be saved without that faith. The Bible says, without faith, we cannot please him. It's impossible, Hebrews 11, verse 6. Well, faith is a starting point, but it's not the ending point. If we want to be a child of God, we have to live as God describes. And the Bible says that's repentance. Jesus said that's a must in Luke 13, verse 3. If we believe in Christ, we're going to confess him. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. And we're also going to be one of his people. That means that we're baptized into Christ, Galatians 3, 26 and 27, for the forgiveness of our sins, Acts 2, verse 38. And then we remember that Jesus died for us. So we, after we become a Christian, after we follow those steps, we want to show our thankfulness. We want to show our gratitude. We want to begin living for him. If we think we truly are grateful, do we show that every single day by living a Christian life? If not, this morning we'd like to help you live that life. Or if you have become a Christian and you've slipped, you're not showing your gratitude by living a faithful Christian life. We'd like to encourage you to write things to get back on the right road and do that now as we stand and sing the selected song.